So the particular lineage of Buddhism that we're part of nowadays is known as Theravada, but before that it was known as the distinguishers, those people who made distinctions, distinguished between things. And there's something that's very liberating about being able to see the component parts, the different aspects of what's going on. When things are all lumped together, sometimes it's hard to find the path, find the freedom in it. And one of the things that it's possible to distinguish is the experience we're having and the awareness of it, the knowing of it. And in the practice of mindfulness, this distinction is useful because you can be aware of something. There's something you can be happening. You can be aware of it. And those are two different things. And you can become more sensitive to what it's like to be aware, what it's like to be mindful. Some people include with their mindfulness, their awareness practice, all kinds of attitudes, or all kinds of things which are extra. Sometimes the attitude of hope or desperation, sometimes reluctance. Some people practice the sledgehammer approach to mindfulness. You kind of come down harsh on what's happening. Some people do the practice of non-committal mindfulness. They're not really going to, they're kind of like just, you know, from a mile away, you kind of note that it's there, but you don't want to get too close, too involved. There's a checklist approach of mindfulness, where you note what's there, like done that, and you're finished, and you don't really stay. Awareness or mindfulness sometimes can be very contracted and tight, leaning forward, pushing, searching for something. Awareness or mindfulness can be expansive and receptive, open, relaxed. So today the instructions will be mindfulness of the body. And I'll guide you through a little exercise of mindfulness of the body. But as we do it, part of the exercise is for you to experiment with how you're aware, or to simply notice some of the aspects, qualities of the kind of mindfulness, kind of awareness you bring. And if possible, part of the experiment is to see if you can have your awareness be relaxed and calm. And I'll direct your attention to different parts of your body. And as you switch from one part to the other, see if you can have that switch be relaxed, calm, while at the same time being deliberate, very clear, that you're calmly moving your attention and placing it, taking in, receiving what's in this place. And as you do this, because you're switching your attention from one place to another, you might begin to get some sense of that awareness is different than the experience you have. And the awareness is something very special. And perhaps you can begin to relax and open the awareness. As Andrea said, there's something about being relaxed and awareness happens by itself. So to settle into this sitting, you might take a few long, slow, deep breaths. As you breathe in deeply, you might use the inhalation as a way of helping your spine, your torso, sit up straighter. So as you fill your torso with air, your chest, you sit up a little bit straighter. Then as you exhale, you keep the uprightness as you release. And then you let your breathing return to normal. And it can be helpful at the beginning of a sitting to scan through your body to see if there's any places of holding or tension that you can easily relax or soften. Maybe you can soften around the forehead and the eyes. Maybe you can soften a little bit around the shoulders and the shoulder blades. Maybe as you exhale, shoulders can give a little bit. It can be helpful to soften, relax the belly. Sometimes letting the belly hang forward and down so the belly doesn't fight gravity. Occasionally we might notice that the body is bracing itself against something. Perhaps as you exhale, there can be a softening in the body, releasing of the body. So here you are, in a body at this time, in this place. And there might be thoughts, mental activity going on. And perhaps as you exhale, you could also relax the thinking mind, the thinking muscle. Soften whatever pressure or tension there might be that's associated with thinking. And then to do this exercise, you have the ability to be aware, to let the awareness take in different things at different times. So calmly and deliberately, bring your awareness into your right hand, like we did yesterday. And feel your right hand. Notice what kind of experience is your right hand having for itself? What are the sensations? The back of the hand. Palm of the hand. fingers. Letting the awareness receive or absorb the various sensations. And as you do this, you might notice that the hand gets filled with more sensations than you would have experienced if you simply weren't paying attention to it. Tingling and warmth and pulsing. Heavy and light, soft, hot, cold. And then calmly and deliberately, this is part of the experiment, see if you can move now your attention to your left hand. Feeling how the left hand experiences itself. Noticing you can, what kind of awareness or mindfulness do you bring to your left hand? Are there attitudes that you have, or just feel your left hand. And the idea of it being a hand is not so important. Just the idea of the feeling the range of sensations, what it's there. Allowing them to show themselves to an awareness which is open to them, relaxed and receptive. And then calmly and deliberately move your awareness now, or open your awareness to the strongest sensation in your body, or more accurately to the area where the strongest sensation is. And in that area, just open to the sensations, allow them to show themselves. Noticing how it is to be aware. Are there attitudes or approaches you use that are different than being relaxed and deliberate? You don't have to specifically focus at the strongest sensation, but rather the area in your body where the strongest sensation is. Let that show itself more fully, what's there, as if it has permission to be there. Attention and shift it now. Open your awareness to that part of your body where you tend to experience your breathing. So you're not focusing specifically on the experience of breathing, But as you hold your awareness in that part of the body where you experience breathing, you'll be aware of sensations of breathing and maybe other things right there. Let that become full. Let the various sensations that exist there show themselves to you. And as you were there, notice if there's any attitude that comes along with your awareness, your mindfulness. And if those attitudes seem extra, perhaps you can focus more on the simplicity of just being aware of the place where you experience breathing, the areas of the body, letting those sensations reveal themselves, show themselves, one after the other. And as you're there with your breathing in the body as you breathe, see if you can gently be open to experience the fullness, the full range of breathing in and breathing out, as well as a transition between them. With the relaxed, open, receptive awareness that's both calm and deliberate. And then as you're sitting here, if any compelling sensations arise in your body that make it challenging to be with your breathing, experiment with your awareness to calmly and deliberately bring your attention to that part of the body where the strong sensations are, and feel them and sense them, be with them. Let that area show itself to you in its fullness. If those sensations are particularly challenging, sometimes it's useful to breathe through or breathe with the strong sensation. Sometimes the rhythm of breathing in and out helps keep the mind from getting too caught or reactive. Like a massage. And if nothing compelling is going on in your body, experiment with a calm, deliberate awareness of breathing. Not so much focusing on breathing per se, but the area in your body where you experience breathing. Let that area become full for you of sensations. One breath at a time. If you notice you've been thinking, see if you can also notice what that's done to your awareness. See if there's any tension or pressure connected to thinking. And as you let go of your thoughts, maybe you can release some of the tension. And allow the experience of breathing to return into your awareness. As we come to the end of this sitting, see if you can bring the same deliberate, relaxed, calm awareness to hearing and allow yourselves to sense and feel the experience of the bell ringing, noticing if you use the bell ring at the end of a sitting as a time to lose your mindfulness or get involved in thoughts, or whether you can use it as just another thing to sense and feel. Wherever your hearing occurs for you in your body, let that come alive for you with sensations. If you have a white cloth that is full of stains, lots of stains, saturated with stains, and you drop something on that stain, on the cloth, you won't notice a stain, a new one. But if you have a completely white cloth, then you notice, you distinguish the stain more clearly. I don't know if this is a good analogy for what I want to say, but hopefully you'll go along. So the more you can be in your body, use your body as a reference point, the more clearly you'll notice things like thoughts and feelings and impulses, intentions, perceptions that you have. But if you don't have the foundation of a wide, centered, grounded awareness in your body, it's much harder to distinguish these other things that are going on. So it's very helpful to cultivate a greater mindfulness of the body. And not so much from the control tower, but rather the body's own mindfulness, the way that awareness or sensing arises in the body itself. Sensing and sensation is non-dual. They arise together in the body. And you know, this quote I said yesterday in the talk about the Buddha had passed away, and someone asked Ananda, "Who's your teacher now?" And what he answered was, maybe I didn't quote it accurately, Ananda said, mindfulness of the body is my teacher now. Maybe I just said body is the teacher, but he actually said mindfulness of the body. The body by itself is not going to teach you anything, but it's the awareness that we have of the body, the mindfulness we have of it, that's really the key that allows it to reveal and show, distinguish what's going on. So one way of practicing mindfulness is to use the breathing as a place where we stabilize the mind, help the mind not be wander off so much in thought, come back and relax the mind. And then if there are compelling sensations in the body that arise, they become the object of mindfulness, the subject of mindfulness. So you would can calmly and deliberately let your attention open up and receive those sensations elsewhere in your body. If they are, whether they're pleasant or unpleasant, the idea is to kind of experiment. And I love the word experiment myself. To kind of trial and error and see how can I receive and be with this experience in a relaxed way, open way, equanimous way. And that, of course, is going to take some learning about the non-equanimous ways in which you're there with it. You know, you might be reacting or tensing or wanting or holding and coming to conclusions about it, the attitudes involved in it. And it's in a certain way, it's really okay that you do those things. You don't need to be critical or upset about what your mind does. But we're trying to distinguish, trying to see clearly what it is. And as we see more and more clearly what's actually happening, I think that you or your mind will naturally gravitate towards an awareness which has less suffering in it, that has less reactivity to it. And the whole thing will take time. You don't have to turn yourself into a Buddha just today. And just kind of take your time, get to know what's happening. But in order to help with the stabilizing and creating the really good reference point, today's a great day to cultivate mindfulness of the body. If compelling sensations arise in your body, turn towards them, feel them. If you're standing in the lunch line, maybe you can stand there and just really feel from the inside out your body. Settle in, relax into your body. As you're standing washing your dishes, don't do it too slow if there are people behind you in line, but really be there and feel the sensations of washing in your hands and what it's like and what it's like to be there and temperature. When you do a walking meditation, see if it can be a visceral kinesthetic experience from the inside out of just being there in your body. And what's the body's experience of walking? And see if you can begin to Allow the awareness to, in a relaxed way, receive and be with the body. And of course, the more you do that, the more you'll notice how much the mind doesn't do that. And that's actually how this is designed to work. So, you know, there's no bad news. It's okay to start seeing how your mind works, to distinguish and see that, wow, I spend a lot of time wandering off or being reactive or doing something. It's really good to have this stuff stand out. Let it stand out. Kind of the principle of kind of calm, open awareness, to really take it in, experience, applies to everything. What is this experience here? What is this? Here I am reacting. Here is a person who thinks, I can't do this practice. What's that like? To take that into the awareness. Oh, the experience of not feeling you can do it feels like this here. How does that feel in the body? When I was in Burma, I spent a lot of time doing mindfulness of the body, and I got really interested in. So like when they had these monsoon rains that would suddenly start out of nowhere, just boom, there was just like a river coming down from the sky. It was amazing. And as soon as the rain would start, I would relax into my body to see how does the body experience this change, the change in humidity, change in atmospheric pressure. I don't know what was changing. So rather than thinking about it, I wonder how many inches per minute this is, and just like feeling, what is this like? I'd go into a meditation hall and I would feel, what is it like here? What's the field? What's the atmosphere like? Feel it in my body. You might today turn yourself over to your body as much as you can. Whatever is going on for you, whatever the experience is, how's that experienced in your body? Thinking, emotions, whatever it might be, sounds, listening meditation, smelling meditation. There's even seeing meditation, where you're just kind of very relaxed, open, let the sights come in. Some people go out towards the objects of sight, but rather let them come to you in a relaxed way. The body is a wonderful place to practice. And some people find it helpful, as I said yesterday, with walking meditation. You don't have to do it, but to very calmly, very soft whisper in the mind, to use a mental note, label, of what you're paying attention to, what you're noticing. It might kind of help you stay there. Sometimes it helps you to notice what the attitude is, if the note is harsh or tight or just very, you know. But it's like a little gentle reminder, stay there, open to this. And sometimes that keeps an anchor for the mind, so it doesn't drift off too easily again by the currents of thinking or whatever. Just stay right there. So you're pulsing, aching, warmth, pleasure, whatever it might be, just right there. So we can take a couple of minutes if anyone has any questions about mindfulness of the body or the instructions so far or the practice. Yeah, so the comment is that when you're aware of something like the hand, like the exercise, that you can be with a little bit, and then you notice that you're drifted off into some kind of blackness or lightness, something where you're not really so conscious, maybe. And so what is that? What's going on? And I think that that's a great topic of mindfulness for you. So I would take your time. So when you notice you're in that space, don't come back to your breath or whatever it is quickly, but linger there, and look around. And then you might look around and notice what it's like. Is it pleasant or unpleasant? Are there any emotions that are there at all? Are there thoughts, or is there an attitude in that area? What's that like? What's happening there? And then as you get mindfulness, as mindfulness over time gets stronger, you might also become aware of what happens in your sitting just before you go there. So you're sitting, you know, with your breath or with your hand or whatever it is, and in the moment before you drift off into that place, what is happening right there? And it takes a certain kind of vigilance that for a long time you won't notice anything, but if you just kind of like get curious, what is that? One day, because of the habit of looking or asking that question, one day you might see something that happens just before. Yes.
So when I find myself caught in a thought, I oftentimes ask myself the question, what's the opportunity here, or what's possible in this moment? And so first of all, I'm accepting that I'm caught in a thought, or you know, I have a strong connection to this thought. So I'm acknowledging that that's present.
Yeah.
And I'm also asking the question, what is it that's possible in this moment?
No. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. There are times though where I wonder if maybe it's a subtle way of pushing away, or if it's a trying to change things. And so I'm just kind of playing with that, and I'd like to
have some feedback from you. Yeah, great. So the question, when you notice you're thinking, have the question, what's possible, seems to help sometimes. I think it's a great question to ask, and kind of help you. And what's possible is maybe to let go of the thoughts. What's possible maybe is to open to the body and return to the breath and get focused. All kinds of things might be the answer to that. So I think it's a great thing when it's helpful. At some point, as you're getting into the practice and settling more, that question might be extra, because it's more like a potential rather than being with what is. And at some point, you just want to be with what is. So rather than what's possible, the question be, what is right now? Becomes more, as the more settled you are, the more that becomes the the helpful question that keeps opening.
I think that's the issue for me about this then, is that how we are sometimes is not really very skillful, or and in a way I'm looking to see, well, what's a better way of...
Great, yeah. I think it's a great question. I was really encouraging you to use it, and in many situations in life, asking that question, seeing there are different possibilities, different choices, and getting a sense of what's skillful, not skillful, is really a really wise way to go. I'm saying that sometimes, as the practice, you get in meditation, getting more and more still, more focused, more just really in the present moment. It might be that because when things get there, then very subtle little things make a difference. And that question at that point might be a little bit too much. And so at that point, you might experiment with rather asking the question you've been doing, see what happens if you ask the question, what is this? Nothing needs to change. At some point, when practice gets really strong and deep, you don't want to change anything. Even if it's unskillful, there's something very wonderful that happens when you realize you don't even have to change the unskillful. You just have to clearly be aware of it. And right there is the skillfulness. Right there is the freedom. But if you're always kind of looking for what's possible in the deeper kind of subtle places, it's a little extra. It kind of keeps you a little bit from the further deepening in just what is. Does that make sense? But I think what your question is great.
It's
we need to stop. And so there's a few announcements for today. And one is that we'll start our practice discussions with Andrea and I today. And you can, Andrea's meeting in people in room one, which is right next to the office in the big community room downstairs. And I meet with people in room 100, which is if you come down these steps to the left and go past the elevator, left and then right, I'm around the corner on the left. So just there's signs on the wall that says 100, kind of behind the manager's office if you go around it. And so some of you haven't signed up yet, and this would be a great time right after this sitting to finish signing up, because I think that's for the only slots left are for today. So hopefully those people who haven't signed up could sign up. And so we see, because we really want to see all of you today and tomorrow. Yeah, it's not optional. if you sign up, that saves us with having to write a note and yeah. So then, Matthew, who's here in order to sit in on the practice discussion meetings, will be sitting in with my meetings today. And remember, you're welcome to ask him to leave if you feel like it's more private you'd like. And that happens regularly when these meetings, people ask the teacher training to leave. But also know that if you allow him to stay, it's an act of generosity, not only to him, but for countless retreatants down through the ages who will benefit from Matthew's as a teacher. And this evening at 7:45 sitting, Andrea will take couple of the questions. If you leave some Dharma questions, practice questions on the board during the day today, then she will answer those questions this evening. I won't be here in the evening tonight, so she'll do that. And let's see if there's... Oh yes, and the last one is that twice during the retreat, we have what's called service leader tea, which is there's five service leaders for the retreat, the two managers and, actually four this retreat, four cooks, so six. And we'll meet at 6 o'clock today to have our little tea and a little bit checking in about your service leader role. And we'll meet in room number one downstairs. And so enjoy your day, and I hope that your body becomes a wonderful teacher for you as you stay with it, and in walking meditation, and sitting, and eating, and showering, and pooping, and resting, and whatever you do, your body. Stay close to your body today. Thank you.